It's more of a talk, but it's some things that inspired me this week. And I'm going to share that with everyone here, and hopefully it can be of inspiration to you as you go into your next week. The title that I have is The Journey from Bondage to Freedom. And start with a short story to try to contextualize my thoughts here. So in 1986, January 28th, 1986, it was exceptionally cold morning in Cape Canaveral, Florida. It had dropped down to about minus 13 degrees Celsius. And this was a really, really big problem for the NASA base in Cape Canaveral. They were trying to get the Challenger space shuttle launched, and the weather was not cooperating. They were having technical difficulties. Nothing was coming together. This was a very highly publicized event that was supposed to be happening. It's a very exciting time. And so this caused a lot of anxiety in the whole team of management and the engineers. They were trying to fix all the minor issues. They were trying to get everything into place. Weather wasn't cooperating. It was not normal to have cold nights like that, even though it was January. And so here was this shuttle standing on pad 39B, ready and waiting. And it was being pushed off a day and another day. And for a whole week, they've been trying to find a day in which this shuttle could be sent off beyond the atmosphere, trying to prep it for launch. And the day before it launches, on the 27th, one of the engineers that had helped engineer the solid state fuel boosters for the shuttle brings up another issue. He says, you know, we've talked about this before, guys, but here it is again. It's too cold for the seals between the boosters and the exhaust portion of the rockets. It's too cold. I'm afraid those seals will not hold. And so they have a discussion about it. And they're not sure if they should push it off another day to see if the warmer weather would come. And finally, on the 28th, they say, you know what? It's just going to have to be okay. Even though it was 13 degrees Celsius below freezing, by mid-morning, it was up to just a couple of degrees in the minus, but they were going to give this a try. So at 11:38 on January 28th, they called for liftoff. And the Challenger lifted off just fine, and there was a lot of applauding, a lot of cheering going on. It was a huge success to have this massive beast of a shuttle lift off. But 52 seconds after launch, all of a sudden, the spotters were seeing a little bit of smoke coming out on the side of one of the boosters. And 11 seconds later, the entire Challenger disintegrated. And the seven crew members on board disintegrated with the shuttle. The probable determined cause was the O-ring seals that had left exhaust gases into one of the solid state boosters. That was a very bad day at Cape Canaveral and for NASA. And so what was the actual cause? The actual cause was the management team had heard about a concern. They had heard, but they had not heeded that warning, and it was a very tragic outcome. Not heeding was a tragic outcome. Now, that's a pretty big example. It's a really big example of not heeding a warning. And probably in our own lives, we can probably relate to that into some can rationalize in our lives at some point in time where that might have been a reality. You know, we got a warning. We got had someone tell us that that's not a good idea. That is not going to work out very well. But we had to try it anyway, and that's probably how it turned out. We can probably all think of something in our life that happened that way. I'm a bit of a hard learner. I have to live with the school of hard knocks most of the time. But that seems to be the case when we don't heed warnings. And when we push through with our own agenda and we have a wreck of some sort. In the English language, the word "hear" is often a pretty passive word. It doesn't necessarily mean anything other than we have heard some sort of noise. We have heard some sort of language. We have heard something, but it does not necessarily indicate or tell us that we need to, that there needs to be any form of action associated with the word "hear." But there's a word in the Bible that combines these two. And there's actually a portion of scripture that's named after that word. And that word is Shema in the Hebrew. And the word Shema in the Hebrew contextualizes those two, hearing and doing, and combines them into one single meaning. And that passage is in Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you care to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. This passage is one of the passages that the Jews would cling to very tightly, and most of their children, this would be one of the first passages that their children would learn by heart. Where we're at in the scripture here in Deuteronomy, where this scripture is written, is the children of Israel have been released from Egypt. They're in the wilderness, and they've been there for just about 40 years. And Moses is about 120 years old, and he's giving the younger generation, the next generation, a bit of a history lesson before heading into the promised land throughout the book of Deuteronomy. And in chapter 6 is what they call the Shema, and for a reason. We're going to start at verse 1 and we're going to read through verse 9. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, and to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son, and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. And then in verse 4, through 6 is what they consider the Shema. And the first word, if we were to translate it directly from the Hebrew, is the word Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gate. That is the Shema. And that word here in verse 4, that very first word, means a few different things. In the direct translation, it says it has it in point form. It says to hear, to perceive by ear, to hear with attention and interest, to understand, and then in parentheses, the language. To hear as though in a judicial case in a court of law, to listen and give heed, to consent and agree, to grant a request, to obey and be obedient, to be regarded and to be obeyed, a cause to hear. That is what that word Shema all entails. So it's a very in-depth meaning to a very simple word that we in the English language would often just refer to as some audible sound or we heard. Now the reason this, in this context, these verses stand out is that was really the whole reason they were still in the wilderness. Because their fathers had not understood that word properly. They had not understood what it meant to Shema. They had heard. But the obedience had not followed that hearing. In fact, they had blatantly disregarded God's instructions numerous times. They'd had enough faith to leave Egypt behind, but through that journey, they complained, and their situation was compromised because of it. They had disregarded God's instructions. And maybe that's more relevant than we would like to think, perhaps. Maybe we find ourselves in a situation like that too sometimes. Maybe we're in a situation where we had enough faith to leave our old life and become a Christian. But on our journey, we're forgetting to Shema. Maybe there was some hard parts in your past journey. Maybe there was some old habits in your past journey that creep their way into your life. Maybe it was a lack of conviction. Maybe it was, I don't know what it was in your life. Maybe there is nothing, but maybe there is. And maybe you're wandering in a bit of a dark wilderness this morning because, not because you didn't hear audible hearing, not because you might not have read or had your devotions. Not because you didn't go to church, but because there's a second part to that word that we simply didn't, or don't, or might not want to understand. What are we doing with God's instructions? You know, God wants us to take him pretty seriously. In Exodus, you know, going back a few books and a few chapters, in Exodus, the same word is translated when it says God Shema. When the Israelites were groaning under the oppression of Egypt. And he heard and he understood. And not only did he hear and understand, but he took action to free his people. Another example is in Psalm chapter 34. Verse 17, David talks about this. He said, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth. And that word heareth is translated from the same word. Not just hears as in, yeah, he noticed something down there, but he heard and he does something about that. And that's what we expect when we pray. Is it not? We expect God to do something about our situation. We would really like if he did. Because if he just heard and did nothing, it would do us no good. Maybe it's sometimes not quite in the way that we anticipate, but God does. And we expect that because we are followers of Jesus, and we want to have that connection, and we want to claim to have that direct access to God. And so we expect him to reciprocate something with us. And those same expectations rest on us from God's point of view. He expects us to not only just hear it, but we need to do something about it. In Exodus chapter 19, God says, if you will obey, and there, that word obey is actually the same word again. It is interchanged in the Old Testament. It's Shema. If you will Shema my voice and keep my covenant, you will be my treasured possession. And in 1 Samuel chapter 15, Samuel, when he rebukes Saul's disobedience, He says to Saul, to obey, again, to Shema, is better than to sacrifice. To obey is better than a sacrifice. In both cases, hearing without doing just completely misses the mark. But that's Old Testament. And that's somewhat irrelevant to us today, right? Well, according to Jesus' words, it's really not. It's really not. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 7. And I want to just talk about how Jesus views, and Jesus knew that passage because he quotes it. Now, the word heareth in this passage was translated from the Greek. So it's a slightly different context, but the word Shema was taken out of this word in the Greek, and the Greek word here is akouo. But let's listen for what he talks about hearing. Therefore whosoever heareth these things of mine, we're reading in verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto the wise man which built his house upon the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto the foolish man that built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as though having one having authority and not as the scribes. One having authority, not of the scribes. What kind of house? What kind of house am I building? What kind of house are you building? What kind of decisions are we making every day when we know what to do? We know what to do. Hearing and not doing is not just incomplete, it's completely catastrophic. It was to NASA when they weren't listening to the warnings. It was to this builder of this house that washed away on the sand. It was not just a little thing. It was a catastrophic failure. So the three questions that I had to ask myself, and I want to ask everyone here, just to context what my train of thought was, is the first question is to each individual heart, and I was asking myself this, to my heart, what am I listening to and what are you listening to? Not just acoustically, but what is shaping, what is guiding, what is directing you? What are you obeying? We all listen, hear, watch, see, do things every single day. What is generating those actions? What is generating the interest in what are we listening to? What we are reading, what we are paying attention to, what is driving that? And is it quality enough stuff that we can shema it? We can listen to it, we can do it, we can obey it, and it's going to put us on the right path. Are we traveling the right road? Every decision in your day is based on information. Turn with me to James chapter 1. We're going to spend a little bit of time in James. I'm going to look at chapter 1, verse 19. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto the man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." If I look in my commentary, it says, talking about this passage, it says, it refers to one who listened with focused intent. In the biblical frame, it distinguishes between the passive reception of spoken revelation and the active obedience that genuine faith demands. Scripture never applauds mere auditory exposure. It presses listeners towards responsive action. In the practical outworking, every day. Studying the Bible intently to see what God wants out of me for actions. What does God want out of me for actions? And we need to all ask ourselves that every day. What's driving my actions? I'm going to turn the next page over to James chapter 2, verse 14. Just rivets this down a little tighter. It says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be you warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which they are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? There is no separating the two. My second question is if you or if I are going through a dry and difficult time in our Christian walk, is there a possibility that we, like the children of Israel, are listening to God, but not Shema, hearing God? Is there a possibility of that? We're not putting God's instructions into motion and action. And we perhaps are wandering in the wilderness until we're ready to hear God on that level. Is there a possibility? I'm not saying that every time we have a struggle, that is the case, or we're having a hard time. That's not what I'm saying, but I am asking the question that is real. Why? Because sometimes it very well might be that we are not listening. We're not Shema, the commands and the word of God. The Israelites were in the desert for 40 years because of this fault. That's a very long time. And I pray that no one here ever will have to be in a dry, destitute desert in their Christian life for 40 years before they're ready to act upon God's command for them. But is it possible? I guess it is, because it's shown in the Bible that it is. I'm turning back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I want to read those verses again. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. It's as simple as just simply not doing what God describes and prescribes for us. That'll put us in a desert. It's just that simple. It's just not doing. To obey, to Shema is the journey to, and not only the journey to, it's the journey in freedom. It's the journey within that freedom. That's what we can expect. And my third question is, what is the evidence? What's the evidence in my life? And what's the evidence in your own life? And I'm not asking you to look at someone else's life. I'm asking you to look at your own life. What are the evidences in your life that we understand what that word means? Do you show evidence of that? And he prescribes the benefits if we show evidence in the next couple of verses. He said, and thou shalt teach. This is what the evidence is going to look like. He said, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them upon for a sign on thy hand. And thou shalt be, they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. It's going to be evident. It's going to be evident. There's no hiding this. It's all out front. Verse 24 of Deuteronomy 6 says, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe and to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. To further that thought, I'd like to go to Mark a little bit. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. It says, and one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered, and listen to what he says. He quotes that verse 4. He says, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's what Jesus says. He's not separating the Old Testament from the New Testament. And then he goes on to say, he says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely, this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. He understood exactly what Jesus was saying. He understood exactly what Jesus was saying. And Jesus says to him, when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. All he needed to do yet was having faith in Jesus. That was the scribe's fault. But he understood what God had prescribed in the Old Testament very well. Now, the parallel passage to that is in Luke chapter 10. Verse 25, and says, "Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And this lawyer says, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou answerest right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, Who is my neighbor? And Jesus said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves. And then he goes into telling the story of the Samaritan, putting words into actions, understanding what you read, understanding what it means to obey. And then Jesus asks him, after he tells him that story, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. And Jesus said unto him, Go and do thou likewise. So what are our instructions? What have we heard? I think it's just like he said, tells that lawyer. Now go and do likewise. It's each individual's responsibility to go and do likewise. There's no amount of guardrails. There's no amount of people talking to you about what warnings about things that might not be a good idea that will actually convince you to do what's God's will in your life, unless you decide for yourself that you're going to shema, that you're going to hear the word, and you're going to play it out in your own life. There's no amount of someone else's interpretation that will convince you of that, unless you convince yourself that that is the way to do it. There's no amount of coming to church, there's no amount of scripture reading, there's no amount of podcast listening, or anything else in the world that can make you shema. You can listen, and that's an audible influence perhaps. It might direct you, but you have to understand, each individual has to understand what God wants for you. And the only way we understand what God wants for us is if we find ourselves looking in here and find ourselves digging and reading and listening and propel ourselves into action by what we have heard. May God bless.